Welcome to the Restaurant Boss Podcast, where you can make more money, have more freedom, and actually start to enjoy owning your restaurant. If you're feeling overwhelmed, stressed, and just sick of the struggle, you've come to the right place. So here is your host, the restaurant boss himself, Ryan Bromfin.
I share my story to anyone that I speak to live at events and in my programs and in my books, but I don't know if I've ever shared my story publicly. So I'm gonna go ahead and share it right now. Hey everybody, this is Ryan Grom with The Restaurant Boss, author, speaker, chef, restaurateur, founder of therestaurantboss.com, clickbacon.com, scalemyrestaurant.com, and author of Make It Happen, like I said. So I don't know if I've ever shared my story publicly. Like I said, when I speak, I share it. A lot of my clients know it. It's in the book. It's in my course Scale, but I don't know if I've ever posted it here publicly. It's a story of struggle and success and overwhelm and stress and hospital visits, maybe similar to your story. So if you're in the restaurant business, I think you'll find this very interesting, because it really is a story of what we all struggle with in the restaurant business and what we go through. And I think there's some lessons in here for all of us to learn. So my journey probably started very similar to a lot of yours. I had a passion for cooking. I loved restaurants. It started with me watching the Food Network. This is when I was still in high school, early high school actually. We're probably going to like 95, 96 maybe. Food Network was just in its infancy. I mean, we're talking about the Two Hot Tamales, Mario Batali, Ming Tsai, Emeril. I remember there was a show with Sarah Moulton called Cooking Live, and it was on at dinner time or right before dinner time, and she would literally cook a meal in an hour and people could call in and ask questions, and I would watch the show and cook with her. My mom cooked a lot at home, and so I really grew up watching Food Network. And the thought of becoming a chef never really was an option. I just like cooking. But one day, someone, I think my dad, said to me, "Hey, do you ever think about becoming a chef?" And I was like, "No, not really. Wasn't really a career path. I didn't know anyone who was a chef." But then, like, a couple weeks later, I was watching on the Food Network, and Andrew Dorenberg and Karen Page wrote a book called Becoming a Chef. They were talking about it on the Food Network, and I was like, interesting. So I went online. This is the infancy of websites, probably AOL. I went online, and it turns out they were going to be in town in a couple days signing books at a Barnes & Noble. You guys remember Barnes & Nobles? So I went, and I got a signed copy. I got to meet with them a little bit, and I read it cover to cover. I mean, a couple of days. And the book was great. And the book really talked a lot about testing the industry to see if it was for you. And then interning and getting a job at the best place you could, doing the worst job, it didn't matter. You just needed to work at a great place. So I took that to heart. I did a summer internship at a very, very high-end country club in Southern California. I couldn't even drive to work. So this had to be like 94, 95, because I wasn't driving yet. I got my license in 96. And my mom would drop me off at work for that summer. And if you can imagine just the the embarrassment and what people would say about me being dropped off, right? Huerito was the nicest thing they said to me. By the way, I'll explain all of this in a second. I'm building an airplane in my garage, and we'll get to that, but for now. So I cooked for a summer, and I loved it. And then the next summer, I had an opportunity to go to Europe with some friends, and I decided not to go because I had another opportunity to cook at the same country club, and I took that. And then I went to culinary school and I excelled. I was top of my class. I stayed late. I stayed early. I became kind of the teacher's pet. I'm not ashamed to admit it. All of the culinary instructors wanted me to help with special events. And, you know, it was a full university. I went to Johnson & Wales. So we did all of the catering through the culinary department. So whenever there was special dinners or special events or banquets or anything, I would volunteer to help out, and I got to know the instructors well, maybe too well. We went drinking a lot, and it was weird. Well, I look back at it, and it was weird, but it wasn't weird for me then. I just enjoyed it and anything I could do. And then I came home and I did an internship at the Peninsula Hotel in Beverly Hills, and then I went back to school, and then I did an internship at the Mansion on Turtle Creek in Dallas, and then I came back to the Peninsula. And I mean, at 20, 21 years old, I was cooking at one of the nicest hotels in the country. I mean, top, I think we were rated number 3 or number 4, Condé Nast at the time, one of the top 10 restaurants in the country. And I was doing well. And I stopped at my associate's degree, my 2-year degree, and I started cooking. And then I got burnt out young, like 22, 23. I was like, I don't wanna do this anymore. I already started seeing giving up weekends and giving up nights, and this was before cooking was cool. I mean, I was good. I was a good cook. I was getting good. But it wasn't cool to be a cook back then. I mean, now we're talking about like 2001, 2002. And so I kind of stepped away from the industry for a while. And then, like most, I came back. And then I did another 3 or 4 years, and I'm 26, 27 at this point, and I'm a sous chef at the Peninsula. You know, a couple years, I'm probably executive chef material at pretty much any restaurant or any hotel I want, well before the age of 30. Probably by 30, I'm an executive chef at a 5-star hotel if I wanted. But I decided I wanted to open up my own restaurant. And so I went to go work at some independent restaurants, and I was shocked. I mean, just shocked at what I saw. The lack of systems, the lack of processes, the lack of procedures. But I said, well, I worked in 5-star hotels. I'll do this better. This will be easy. And so I tried to open up a restaurant, and I lost all my money. This was now 2007, 2008. I had some money through some inheritances and through some investments and things and a little bit of savings. And I lost a couple $100,000 in 08 trying to get the restaurant open. I pulled money out of the stock market at the bottom. I tried to get a lease signed. We had some money raised. We had an absolutely amazing relationship with an investor to get the $1 million that we needed raised. And I had half of it committed. And then the day before I got married in late 08, the gentleman who owned the property and owned a lot of restaurants who was going to invest and brought his friends along, his son took over the real estate division, and the first thing his son did was suspend all leases because he thought that the economy was about to crash. And we were gonna get married on Sunday and sign the lease on Monday and then go on our honeymoon. And when they pulled the lease away, then I knew the investment money wasn't gonna be there. And my wife came home on Friday afternoon. She had picked up her family at the airport and some friends, and we were all getting ready to start enjoying our wedding weekend. And I was curled up in a ball on the floor, just crying. I mean, I'm talking fetal position, immobile. I couldn't move. Because to that point, everything I'd ever thought about was opening my restaurant. And it was this close, and I lost everything. I mean, absolutely everything, financially. And I think I lost a little bit of hope too, because I'd worked so hard, so hard. And so I was able to get through that night, and we did our Saturday rehearsal dinner. We got married on Sunday, and it was an unbelievable wedding. And Monday had this kind of empty feeling because we were supposed to sign the lease and we didn't. And we went away on our honeymoon, and I brought some books with me, and I needed to find some inspiration. I needed to get motivated again. And I needed to get a job. And I came home and I went to work at a couple of independent restaurants. And again, just kind of shocked at what I saw. I went to work at a hotel that wasn't a 5-star hotel because I didn't want to do that again. I wanted to do my own restaurant. And I was shocked at what I saw. And then I got a phone call from a guy who had just bought a mall by this point, the economy had crashed in 08. He bought a mall about 3 months, 4 months before the economy crashed. He was gonna potentially invest in our restaurant. So that's how I knew him. But I got a call and he's like, hey, I heard you're just kind of bouncing around LA right now. You're not really sure what you wanna do. And I've got this mall that I had leases with like all these big restaurants and they pulled out to do the food court. He's like, do you wanna move up and we'll do the food court together and then maybe we'll put together a model and we'll put our restaurants in other food courts. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And so I'll spare you the details, but we got four restaurants open in less than a year and it was unbelievable, unbelievable experience. But this was not a good human being. This was not a good partner. And I knew it. I knew before we made any agreements. I knew before I packed up my wife and I, after we just got married and moved to a new city, that this wasn't a good guy, but I needed an opportunity so bad that I was willing to ignore all of the signs to pursue that chance, that opportunity. And so, like the day we got there, we knew we made a deal with the devil. But we did it, we persevered. We were partners. I had a salary, my wife had a salary. She did the catering, I ran the restaurants. We got all four restaurants open, like a high-end wine market and bistro where we got to do these amazing wine dinners and cook with foie gras and caviar and meet amazing winemakers. And then we had a pizza by the slice restaurant. We took over Sparrow, turned it into our own place. We had a burger restaurant, we had a candy shop that we made our own chocolates and candies and things. And it was fun, it was great. But I learned that while I was judging other restaurants and thinking I was so good, what I learned was the systems at the five-star hotels were good. I was good. I mean, I was a good chef, but I was not good at running a restaurant. And I struggled. And I worked a lot of hours. And we had problems. We were putting out fires. We had maintenance issues. We had just everything. All the stuff that you all go through as restaurant owners. And while I was trying to work through this all and try to figure out, because I knew this wasn't going to work out, but it was a salary and the restaurants were doing okay. We were in a bad economy. I started developing these pains in my stomach. I mean, like really bad pains, like the kind of pains that wake you up in the middle of the night, not the kind of pains you take like an Advil or a Tums and go back to sleep. I'm talking like the kind of pains that you're like, I think I'm sick, like something's happening here. And one night it was so bad, my wife said, that's it, I'm calling an ambulance. I'm like, don't call an ambulance, we can't afford it. Let's go to the hospital though. So we drove to the hospital, $1,500, right? Drive to the hospital. And the doctor gets me a CAT scan or an MRI or something. And he's like, hey, you've got an ulcer, you've burnt a hole in your stomach. He's like, are you stressed out? I'm like, am I stressed out? I'm running four restaurants. I'm working 6 to 7 days a week, long hours. Like, yeah, I'm stressed out. He's like, you gotta chill out. You gotta take a couple weeks off work. I'm like, there's absolutely no way I can take a couple weeks off work. It's not possible. So my wife was able to open up the restaurants that day and she did the best she could to cover for me for one day. And that day I stayed at home. I slept in a little bit. I took a hot bath and I remember, and I got back in bed with a notepad and I just sat there and I had done some Tony Robbins work before this and I wrote on that piece of paper, ask yourself a better question, get a better answer. And so I kept asking, why were these restaurants struggling? Why was I 28, 29 years old and getting an ulcer? Why? And I kept asking why, until I would write stuff down, it wasn't good enough. So then I asked again, and I asked again, and I asked again. And it took me about 3 or 4 hours, and I finally got to the conclusion that what I said earlier, maybe I wasn't that good at running restaurants. Maybe it was the systems that were that good at running the restaurants. And so at that point, I was like, I need help. And I went through some contacts that I had through some Tony Robbins work that I did, and I hired a coach to help me out. I knew restaurants, but I didn't know business. I didn't know personal. I didn't know how to manage my time, how to manage people. No one taught me that. Who taught you how to manage people? No one taught me how to manage people. And my coach and I did some work together And it was incredible. And that's when I really found my power. That's when I found it's the systems, it's the processes, it's the procedures, it's knowing how to do this stuff, it's learning how the brain works, it's learning how to manage people, it's learning how to lead. I didn't know any of that. I wasn't taught it. Even people that I talk to who get MBAs in management, they're not taught this stuff. Like I said, who taught you how to manage? So I got addicted to reading business books. I got addicted to seminars. I went to 2 or 3 Tony Robbins seminars in a very short period of time. I listened to every program I could get my hands on. And I changed those restaurants. I turned them around. They started doing well. More than anything, they started to run. They started to run without me. And 6 months later, I was able to take those 2 weeks off that the doctor wanted. And my wife and I went to Fiji for a 2-week Tony Robbins event. 2 weeks in Fiji. I couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford the trip. I couldn't afford the course. It was a Tony Robbins course. It was $10,000 a person. You got a $1,000 discount if you signed 2 of you up. So it was $19,000 for my wife and I to do the course in Fiji. And that did not include travel or staying at Tony's private resort, which was $700 a night for like 12 nights. I mean, this was a $30,000 trip. But I did it. I remember freaking out, and my wife was like, we have to do this. And thank God, thank whatever you want to thank, that she forced us to do this. We put it on a 0-interest credit card for 6 months. We said, we'll figure this out. And those 2 weeks were the most incredible 2 weeks of my life. But beyond what happened there, or it's the specifics of it, what happened on that trip was I found my purpose. I found my power. I found that what I learned to do in those 6 months, I need to teach other people. I don't know about you, but when I went to work sometimes in the restaurant, I had this pit in my stomach, this fear, this pain of, am I gonna get yelled at today? Am I gonna get a fork thrown at me? I've had that happen. Am I gonna get a plate thrown at me? I've had that happen. Am I gonna get fired today? Am I gonna get fired for something that I didn't even do? It just depends on what mood maybe my chef was in. But I found my purpose. And my purpose was, I gotta help others. At first it started as I gotta help others, and now it's really my mission is I gotta help change this industry. This industry should be a place where we can make a career, where you can be a chef and have a 401k and have insurance and be able to take a weekend off once in a while, be able to go see your kid's baseball game. It doesn't have to be the way it is. It's going to be hard. We don't know the path, but there is a path. And I worked in that partnership for a couple more years against everything in my body, but I needed it. I needed it to figure some things out. I needed it for I needed to live. I needed to eat. My wife and I were struggling to get pregnant. We couldn't conceive naturally at the time, and that was expensive, fertility treatments. I mean, we were broke, like flat broke. No way were we building an airplane then. No way did I have a 3-car garage then. The partnership finally ended. I can't talk about that. I'm not legally allowed to talk about that, but the partnership ended, and it was bad, it was ugly. And I had nothing, but I knew my mission. And fortunately, I worked hard every day of my life. The day I left the partnership, I get a phone call from a guy who owned a hotel or operated, he was a general manager of a hotel in town. He said, hey, I wanna talk to you. I heard you're not operating the restaurants anymore. And I said, yeah, I'm not interested in being the chef at your hotel. He's like, I don't want you to be the chef. I want you to come consult for us. I spoke to the owners, they wanna meet with you. Can you come in tomorrow? So I went and I met with them. I didn't know what a consultant was. I didn't know what to do. So I Googled it all night long. I read everything I could. I downloaded every article I could. I got my hands on everything I could about consulting. And I went in and I BS'd my way through it. And they said, we'll come back on Monday with a proposal. And so I spent the whole weekend reading everything I can about putting together a proposal and what it should look like and what I should do and how many hours and what I should charge. And I put together a proposal and they said yes. And I was back in business. Well, I should say I was in business, but I mean I was back in business as far as I had an income again, which was great. And that was where I needed to be. I absolutely fell in love with consulting. Loved it. I got to help people. I could see me starting to change some people's lives. I could see these cooks didn't have what I had. They didn't have access to the ingredients in five-star hotels. They didn't have the coaching that I got. They didn't know about systems and processes. They were struggling. And I got to help, and it was awesome. And I got to implement systems and processes and procedures. And I did amazing work there. And I'm so fortunate for them. But what I also knew was, one, I can't affect enough change if I'm on site in a hotel for 6 months. I have to be able to deliver my message on a bigger stage. And so I got to work. So I started to learn about how can I be a virtual consultant? How can I coach? How can I attract people? And I hired coaches and I went to seminars. And that was 10 years ago. That was 10 years and 1 month ago. I've been wanting to make this video for a few months, but I wasn't ready. I needed to think about it. And 10 years and about 1 month ago is when I started consulting. And I have a 20-year plan. I'm halfway there. I have a successful consulting business. It's an absolute honor and a privilege to coach and to help restaurant owners. Some of the proudest moments of my career have happened through the Restaurant Boss. I work with some amazing brands and I've met some people, and maybe a year ago I'm on the phone with a woman who was a GM of one of the restaurants I work with, and she had been physically abused by her husband and had two kids, two beautiful young kids, and she was all alone, had no one. Her husband, she had to get a restraining order, but she was struggling at work because of all the distractions, and I had the privilege to work with her, and I was able to kind of motivate her and get her to change the way she did some stuff, and within 4 or 5 months of us working together, she got promoted, or she got a big raise, and then she got promoted to a bigger store, and then she got offered to manage both stores, and then she got a district manager position now. And this woman who was barely able to pay her bills is making a healthy six-figure salary and just bought a home. And that's just one of the hundreds of stories I could tell you about people that have made changes, and I've had the privilege of helping them with that, and it's unbelievable. But I want that for more, and that's the next journey we're on. That's the next 10 years of this journey at the Restaurant Boss. The story hasn't been written yet. Your story hasn't been written yet. I just don't want anyone to suffer the way that we've had to suffer in this industry. I'm so glad that there's this movement to pay more, because while I know it's going to be hard for restaurants, maybe I would have stayed in the industry. Maybe I would have continued cooking if I was making a decent wage. Maybe I'd be a chef at a big hotel. Maybe I'd have 20 restaurants. I don't know. I don't regret anything. I love my life. I love it. But I think it would have been a little different. But I love that I went on this path, and I love that I went through what I had to go through, because I get to help others now. And so I just wanted to share my story. And honestly, as I didn't know what I was going to say here. I turned on the camera. I thought this was going to be a 6 or 7 minute video. We're 24 minutes into it. I've never told it in this much detail. I don't know if anyone out there watching this knows this much. I don't know if my family knows this much. My wife does. She was there for every minute of it. We work so hard in this industry. You guys all work so hard. And we have to make this a better place. We have to make this industry a better place for our teams, for our friends, for our coworkers, for our families. And we can do it. We can absolutely do it. We're doing it right now, slowly, but we're doing it. I love this industry and I love every single one of you. Crazy people. Crazy people. So normally I would sign off here with my normal, well, I'll say it, right? Sorry, I got stumbled there. Systems create freedom, freedom creates value, and value creates scale. But I promised you I would show you around a little bit. So let's do, I can't get this camera off. So let's do something fun here for a second. So in my personal life, this is the hardest thing I've ever taken on. I'm literally building an airplane. This is an airplane that my family and I will fly in. This is not a remote control airplane. This is a real airplane. Because I love flying. I have my pilot's license and I fly around the country for work. Sometimes when I go speak or sometimes when I go visit restaurants. But the plane I fly right now isn't fast enough. I wanted something bigger and something faster. And so I've always wanted to build one and here I am. This'll take me 5 years. I've been working on it for a year. I have another 4 years, 5 years to go. I'm not in a hurry. I love the process. I get to unwind here every night and work on it. But man, you want to talk about systems, processes, procedures, paying attention to details. I mean, the instructions are just unbelievable. Every section has a book this big. But it's a blast. I love it. So that's a little peek inside of my life. I hope you enjoyed this. I'd love to see your comments. I'd love to hear your story. Shoot me an email. If you need to hop on the phone and chat about something, let me know. If I can help you at all, let me know. Send it to support@therestaurantboss.com. support@therestaurantboss.com. Put a comment below here. Is your story similar to mine? My guess is they're all pretty similar. The details might be different, but they're all pretty similar. So anyways, I love every single one of you crazy restaurant people. Have an absolutely amazing day.
Hey, did you notice something in today's episode?
Yep. No ads, no sponsors, just great training to help you make more money, have more freedom, and avoid the stress, struggle, and overwhelm many restaurant owners feel every day. How do I do it? How is it that you listen to all those other podcasts that have minutes and minutes worth of lame ads for underwear or other websites they're promoting? I don't judge them, but I choose to focus on you. I can only do this because you share my podcast with other folks who end up looking me up online, registering for my courses, and getting amazing results in their restaurants. It's because of you that I can self-fund this effort, and you know how hard it is to do all this. That's why I appreciate you so much. So if you like this podcast, ad-free and sponsor-free, do me a favor. Tell a friend in the restaurant business about this podcast and my website, therestaurantboss.com. It would sure help and I would appreciate it. I'm sure our community would too. Plus, if you could leave me a review on iTunes or post a comment about this episode on my website, that would be huge as well. Until next time, remember, your success in the restaurant business is about your ability to create, manage, and master systems while developing your employees. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks a lot for listening to the Restaurant Boss Podcast with your host, the restaurant boss himself, Ryan Gronfin. For more great content, free stuff to help you make more money and enjoy more freedom, visit therestaurantboss.com and click on podcast. Be sure to register on our email list so you never miss an episode. We'll see you next time.